Please turn with me once again to the book of Psalms and to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And we shall read words which we find in verse 2. Psalm 23 at verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Amen. At the beginning of the psalm, we find David testifying to his confidence in God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will not lack. God will supply all my need. And that surely is the testimony of every believer in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sure that the Lord, just like a shepherd, will provide that which we require for our existence in this world, and more than our earthly need, that this great shepherd will provide for our souls. Why are we confident of that? Because by grace we know that we belong to the Lord's flock, that we are his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. Do you know that? You've sung these words many times. You've read them countless times. The Lord is my shepherd. It is easy to say, but is it a reality in your life? Is there that relation between you and God such that you can truly say, the Lord is my shepherd? It all comes down to that. If we cannot say it, or something is indeed lacking, there has not been that saving change, that new beginning, that forgiveness of sin. Well, we are meant to live as David lived, as the Lord's people live, trusting in God, depending upon him, and able to say that he will supply all that we need. Thou art good and doest good, said the psalmist. That is God's character. The only good God. Now many do not put their confidence in the Lord. They think they can obtain all that they need here in this life by their own efforts. It is certainly true that if we will not work, then we will not have our supply, food on our tables, clothes on our backs, for ourselves, for our loved ones. If we're able, then that is surely our duty, our calling. But we do not trust in our own effort in these things. And what if we are sick? What if we enter into old age and we're frail? And we can no longer manage to do all the things we once did so easily. Who will meet our need then? Well, perhaps there will be loving relatives who will come to our aid. But perhaps we are alone. No man thinks upon us. Ah, but the Lord does. The Lord loves his sheep, and he takes care of them. and their every need. Give us this day our daily bread. That is part of the Lord's Prayer. The prayer that Christ taught his disciples. And there you have a warrant and an encouragement to bring all your need to the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. That tells us we should be praying constantly. Each day coming before the Lord as a bountiful giver and asking him that out of his goodness he would provide for our need. Well, that takes care of the needs of the body. But what of the need of our soul? That is the most important thing. And the wonderful thing is that Scripture teaches us that the same God who blesses us in his providence with our earthly need blesses his people in his grace, meeting the need of their soul. As we read in John chapter 10, the words of Christ, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Well, our text in Psalm 23 concerns that life which Christ came to give to sinners. Let us consider what we have in our text. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. With the Lord's help, we shall note three things. Firstly, faith in Christ. Because that is where we must begin. Apart from faith in Christ, we will know nothing of the new life which he spoke of, which he, by his redeeming work, came to give. And the new life and faith, because faith is a divine gift, is the work of the Holy Spirit in the soul. We're told that in Middle Eastern countries, shepherds give names to their sheep, rather like we might give names to our pets. It's not something shepherds in our country perhaps do, but in the Middle East, this is what they apparently do. And that helps to shed light upon what we were reading in John chapter 10. And there we have an account of Jesus as the Good Shepherd and how he, as the Good Shepherd, brings his sheep to enjoy this new life, this abundant life which he has to give. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Can you see yourself there? Can you reflect upon your own life, God's dealings with you, and see that the Lord Jesus has spoken to you and called you even by name and has led you forth and you belong to his flock and you're under his care. What a blessing if we can say that it is so with ourselves. And what is this voice of Christ, the Good Shepherd? Well, in the Gospel, Christ speaks with such power and such love that His people, sinners chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, poor and needy ones, they hear as they've never heard before. What they heard before were the mere words of a mere man, a preacher. But now they hear the preacher. They hear Christ. And they cannot, and they will not, and they do not resist the voice of the Good Shepherd. Willingly, they leave their sin behind and the world behind, and they follow Jesus Christ. Have you known that? Such a change that was the effect. It was something you did because you realized it was the right thing to do according to the Word of God, according to what your conscience was telling you, according to the need of your soul. There you were in your sin, in your guilt, in your shame, not fit for God. But the gospel came, and there was a change within your soul, so that the thing you would never have done previously was now the one thing you wanted to do above everything else. Become a Christian. Go with Christ. Belong to Him. Bear His name to live according to His teaching. Shepherds very often have some sort of enclosure or fold where they put their sheep, perhaps for some particular reason. And the sheep are secure and they are safe. And it is a real question, where does Christ put His sheep? Well, of course, Christ brings them to Himself, but He brings them into His church. His church. The church is not just a convenient thing that man has invented. No, the church is a divine institution. And the church is the kingdom of Christ. He reigns over the church. He's the head. Church is His body. There's this union, this oneness, the shepherd and his sheep. Now, we found within a church building, that is the right place to be, if at all possible, on the Sabbath day. But a church building is one thing, the church is another. We are a congregation. We're part of a denomination. There you have the visible church. Many other churches in our land. But the church of God, the church of Christ, ultimately is made up of the Lord's people. That is the only church which will be gathered together in heaven. The only church which will be meeting for worship in eternity. All the redeemed of God. All who've heard the shepherd's voice. They've been made willing in a day of God's power. Grace has entered their hearts. And like Matthew of old, Levi as he was, sitting at the receipt of custom, they've risen up and they've followed Christ. Left everything behind in a sense, because they recognize Christ has something for their souls that no one else has. What is it? Salvation from sin. What a priceless thing. If you have it, you have everything. If you do not have it, oh well, you are in a poor state, a ruinous state. And if you hold on to your sin, you will certainly perish in your sin. In the church, we are among those of like precious faith. Faith involves knowledge. And you cannot have faith, saving faith, without knowledge. You must know the one you believe, who he is, what he's done. So it is with the believer and Jesus Christ. But faith essentially is trust. It is a gracious ability to entrust the welfare of our never-dying soul and our guilty soul to another. That's the very opposite of what we do naturally. We seek to save ourselves in one way or another, to look after our own soul by our works, by our good deeds. And we're thinking, it's a vain and foolish thought, but this is how we are. We're thinking, oh, there's something in me, some good thing. The Lord will take note of it. The Lord will take account of it. And the Lord will overlook my faults, such as they are. And the Lord will receive me in the end. Are you still in that sad condition, that blind condition, thinking so well, so highly of yourself? Listen to the word of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that must include you as well as it includes me. And you cannot get past that. The sentence is death. The wages of sin is death. A threefold death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ loves his sheep. His dear sheep. Did he not shed his blood for them? Did he not suffer the agony of the cross? The hellish torment that belonged to him as the Redeemer, as the sin bearer, as the one to whom the guilt of his people was reckoned, accounted? Oh, he loves them. And he will not rest until he has brought them, each and every one of them, to himself. Christ himself said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he did that when he first came. When he preached the kingdom of heaven, when he had dealings with various sinners, and of course when he laid down his life on the cross for his people. But he's doing that now. He's doing that by the gospel. The Holy Spirit is at work with the gospel of Christ. That gospel is going out. And we might think that this good seed is simply falling to the ground these days. Barren ground, where there's no depth of earth, where there's rock or thorns and thistles, and that seed is coming to nothing. Well, the Lord sees to it that the good seed of the gospel goes where He would have it go, and it reaches His own people. The Spirit brings it home to their heart. The power of the truth of God's word, and the Spirit works conversion in the life of the sinner. Do you know anything of it? A lasting change. One that will never be undone. And one which you will be praising God for all your days. Christ brings His sheep into His fold on earth, the church. And then Christ will bring His sheep into the fold in heaven, where the church is gathered together before His throne. Faith in Christ. We must have that. And if you know you do not really have saving faith, you cannot say with any confidence that you have been converted. Seek that blessing from God. God is gracious. He will not deny. He will not reject any sinner who comes with that plea. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and enable me to believe in Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Our second point is this, fed by Christ. Fed by Christ. You must feed the body. You know, of course, if you don't, then you begin to suffer hunger, to be famished, and to fade away. And health may decline. But those who know so well that they need to feed their body seem to be ignorant of the fact that they must also feed their soul. Certainly we must. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. God's word in the Bible. Only God can feed your soul and my soul. This world is like a desert in terms of providing anything for the good of our souls. Rather, the world does the opposite. The world presents for our attention, our interest, all sorts of vain things, harmful things, things that will never do any good to anyone, no lasting good. They'll just draw you aside. They'll take you away from God. They'll so dull your conscience and your thinking that you will not have in mind as you continue through life the need of your soul. But here is Christ. And He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. Pasture. The good shepherd. What does every good shepherd do? Or seeks pasture for his flock. He's no shepherd if he won't do that. Well, here is Christ. He's the true shepherd.
because he has pasture for his sheep, his people, to nourish them, to give them strength and assurance. What is this pasture? Well, it is the tender grass of God's grace. That's what we need if we are to be nurtured and built up and prospering in our souls. Nothing other than God's grace. And we get God's grace through the means of grace. Our catechism tells us what they are. Chiefly the word, the sacraments, and prayer. And so we know that if we do not make use of these three things, we are not going to get God's grace. God has not promised to bestow it through other means. So you must be someone who reads the Bible. Reads it carefully, prayerfully, diligently, regularly. Are you like that? Is your Bible open in the morning and at night and when you come to the house of God? Are you following the preaching? Are you listening and learning? Are you praying, lifting your heart to God, even as you are under the gospel, and praying, "Oh Lord, teach me, instruct me, make me to be one of thine own people through faith in Jesus Christ." When God blesses his ordinances, then his people grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we should be desiring that. Sometimes you meet professing Christians. You've perhaps known them, met them years before, and now you meet them again. And of course, you would hope that there has been growth in knowledge, in godliness, in service. And yet, when you meet them, they seem to be just as they were previously. And we have to put it to ourselves, first of all. Do those who know us, having known us over years, see growth? See more of a likeness to Christ? See a greater love for the Saviour? A greater usefulness for the Master? A closeness to heaven? That's how we should be. And perhaps we're not as we ought to be. And we're limping along. We're not making much progress. Could it be that we're not making proper use of the green pastures? That we're not reading the Bible, not listening to sermons, not praying, not thinking even upon our baptism, what it signifies, the new life it witnesses to, and perhaps even when we sit at the Lord's table, when God grants us that, we're not getting the blessing we ought to be getting. Well, the fault as ever is with ourselves, and there needs to be a self-examination. We need to ask ourselves the hard questions and be honest with ourselves. Are we making proper use of the green pastures? And the Bible is a wonderful pasture. There's always something new in it. You graze it, as it were, again and again and again, reading the same chapters, the same portions. But every time you graze it, you read it. If you do so prayerfully, well, there's something fresh and something sweet to the taste. You get good for your soul. And it may be the same in preaching. You've heard the text before. Psalm 23. There is no more familiar part of the Bible than that. But if the Lord is amongst us, and if we're praying for ourselves and for one another, there may well be a blessing. And the green pastures are nourishing our souls. There's something similar with prayer. Prayer is, or should be, a daily thing, habitual. But we never weary God with our continual coming to Him. The Lord never says, I've heard you enough. I've heard you regarding this before, as though to shut His ear to us. The Lord never does that. The Lord welcomes us. The Lord delights when His children come to Him, and when they make their need known to Him in a personal way, a childlike way. Never think that there's anything shameful in that, coming just as a child to God as your heavenly Father, with lisping words, stumbling words. The heart is the great thing, that the Spirit of God should be in that prayer, that it is a burden that the Lord has given you, and you're seeking to cast it upon Himself. Prayer will be our need until our dying day. You cannot live as a Christian without praying. It's like breathing to the body. Never let a day go past and you haven't stopped to pray, gone upon your knees to pray. God delights in that. Christ is our great shepherd. Now, there's none to take His place, and none must try to take His place. There is the false shepherd, the idol shepherd, Pope of Rome, claiming to have that place, head of the church, exposed by Scripture. And Christ, He is the only head, and all sufficient. And His people look to Him and to no man on earth. But Christ has under shepherds. And these are ministers of the gospel. And He sends them. And He places them over His people, the different congregations which make up the visible church. And what is their duty? Well, they must provide His sheep with food. And what must they provide? The truth of the Bible, the doctrines of Holy Scripture, milk for one, meat for another, as appropriate. In these things, the sheep of Christ get Christ, for Christ is what they need. You will not get Christ apart from the Word of God. That is where he is revealed. That is where you learn of who he is, God's only begotten Son, and what he came into the world to do, to live and to die on behalf of sinners, and how he rose again triumphant and ascended to heaven and sits on the throne and intercedes for his people and will come again as the judge of all mankind. God's people need to be fed with Christ and with nothing else. Only Christ will do. Plain teaching and preaching out of the scriptures, nothing added, nothing taken away. A full Christ preached in the gospel, all the counsel of God declared. Have you heard that saying? The grass is always greener on the other side. That might be how the sheep see things. They're in this enclosure and they do not seem to have much grass, and it's perhaps somewhat withered. Just over the fence, or there's lush pasture. Long green grass, it looks very good, and they desire it. And they do their best to get hold of it. Something similar happens in churches. There are those who are not content with biblical teaching and gospel preaching. And they see other churches and things have been introduced there. Things which look rather attractive and more exciting than what they get in their congregation. Entertaining things. Things which will attract and please the flesh. They are enticed. And they think somehow that if they could try these things, they would feel better about life. They don't want to hear about sin and judgment and heaven and hell. But these things we must hear. They're in the Bible. Christ taught them. His shepherds must do the same. Lovingly. With a fellow feeling for those they are preaching to, and prayerfully, desiring that the Lord would bless the truth to the souls of their hearers. So resist what the devil may try to set before you in terms of something easier, more comfortable, in religion and in church and worship and fellowship. It must be God's way. There will not be a blessing any other way. Well, thirdly and finally, we have filled with Christ. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Why would a sheep lie down? Well, no doubt, because it has grazed and
It has eaten plenty, and its stomach is full, and so it now lies down to rest. And here we have the Lord's sheep. They know Christ. They're getting Christ for their souls. They're hearing of Him, learning of Him in the Word. They're meeting Him at the throne of grace. They know Him to be that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's dear to them. And above all, He's giving Himself to them. Christ did that when He came into the world and died on the cross. Christ does it now in the gospel and by His Spirit. In John chapter 6, Christ preached a sermon, and a lengthy one, and a striking one. And in that sermon, He revealed Himself as the manna from heaven. And we have these words at verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. It is instructive how the Jews responded to those words. They strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Christ answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. How are we to understand those words? Not literally. That would be absurd. But spiritually. Christ gave Himself at Calvary, body and soul, a sacrifice for sin. Christ now gives Himself in the gospel in a spiritual manner. We have union and communion with Christ. We feed upon Christ by faith, believing the Word of God, believing all that it says concerning Christ. Do you come to the house of God like that? You're looking for a blessing in the reading and preaching of God's Word. You're looking for Christ. No one else will satisfy. That's a good mark of a converted soul. You cannot satisfy them with anything but Christ. A hunger and a thirst within. The soul always seeking the Lord. Because Christ has a fullness of blessedness for His people. A whole Christ, God and man, prophet, priest and king, the Redeemer, the surety, the substitute. Christ is everything. Those of the world, many who are in churches but not born again, no doubt they will think such things to be extreme. They give Christ
a place in their lives. He has some relevance in their lives. But he's not everything to them. In reality, he's nothing. Christ must be everything to you, or he is nothing to you. Because of who he is, he demands that place. And only by grace is the sinner willing to give Christ that place. He must have it. And when you think of what Christ did for sinners, when you think of him going to the cross, when you think of the mockery and the scourging, when you think of all the cruelty and enmity, when you think of the bodily pain and the darkness over his soul, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was no light thing. That was the most remarkable thing in all the history of the world. God in our nature, taking the place of wicked, ungodly, unbelieving, hell-deserving sinners, because he loved them, and he would die to redeem them, that they might be with him in the heavenly glory. This is Christ and the sheep he loves. And the sheep see that. They understand that. They know that Christ is all. And they want him to be all in their lives. Is that how you are? It begins with faith. Saving faith. Receiving and resting upon Christ alone for righteousness before God. And every blessing is in Christ. He saves the sinner. He feeds the soul. He fills the soul with himself. And his people praise him. And they will continue in these green pastures. And they will be thankful for these green pastures. God's grace. Joyed in the word. The sacraments and prayer. Until that day. When they will no longer need means. Because they will join the Lord. In heaven. The sheep. Will all be gathered in. To the heavenly fold, and they will behold Christ, their shepherd, face to face. May the Lord bless this word, and may he give us that grace that Christ would be for us, our all, and in all. May he bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, we thank thee for the testimony of Scripture to thy beloved Son and his accomplishments, that which he finished on the cross, that which he is now doing in heaven. And how he is the good shepherd as he gave his life at Calvary.
So now he gives of himself, even his grace, to his people. And they know him, they feed upon him, and they praise his name. May we be followers of Christ, and may we cleave to the shepherd, for in him we are safe and secure for time and eternity. Bless us and forgive our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.